Junkies. What's going on, golf addicts? Welcome to the Texas Children's Houston Open DFS DraftKings preview. DB back with you. Happy to be back, my boy Pat Perry. Tan and back from vacation.
Yeah.
I'm filling in nicely for me last week.
I don't know if I'd say nicely, but I would say
yeah, that's true.
Filling in. Filling in is a good that's word, true. I guess.
That is true. We're going to talk about the DraftKings slate here for the Houston Open, do our 5K draft as we've got another week of 5K action on DraftKings. I hit this on the betting preview, but just in case you didn't listen to the betting preview, thanks to everybody for your thoughts and prayers with the Barnett family going through some struggles at the moment. I appreciate it. It means a lot. And thanks to everybody in the Discord for sticking with us, hanging out. The Discord didn't skip a beat last week. The podcast skipped a few beats with Pat and, technical difficulties, ad read problems. Other than that, I think we were fine. I saw, a couple really nice messages from folks on X and in our emails and Discord. So really appreciate it. Hope to have a pretty standard week this week, with the exception of the Bump and Run Show. We will not have the Bump and Run Show Thursday. We are preparing to host our Listener League winner from 2023, flying him into Savannah to play some golf, to have some drinks, have a couple meals with myself and Pat. That's the reward that, if you get in the Discord and you get in the Listener League and you find your way to the finals and you win the Listener League, like the last 5-6 years we've been doing this, you get to pick. Come play Champions Retreat in Augusta or go to Savannah, play the Landings, have a lovely meal on the marsh with me and Pat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great opportunity. We're looking forward to doing it with AK this weekend. And so we're prepping for that. So that being said, we're going to announce the winner of our Masters contest in the Discord, probably on Thursday or Friday. So we'll let you know. You still have a chance right now to earn 2 Tuesday grounds passes. You got to get in there quickly. So get in there and do it. If you haven't already joined the Discord, you have to join to be eligible, and it has to be an annual membership. No cheating out of this thing with a monthly membership so you can cancel it if you don't win and be a baby. You're going to love the annual membership. You're going to get your value out of it, I promise, even when it's not peak golf season, because we do a ton of great NFL content in there, good sharp people for NFL. You're going to want it year-round anyway. Major season hasn't even started yet, but it's close. It'll be a killer value for you in the Discord, and you'll get tossed into a very small pot, a much smaller pot than you are probably in, to win Masters passes for Tuesday. If you can't make it, they're your passes. You can do with them what you want, give them to somebody, whatever. So we will mail those to you ASAP and announce the winner on Thursday or Friday in the Discord. So do that. Pat.
Yes.
How you doing, bud?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. I am I'm really busy. I got all these things going on.
Yeah.
Right now. When you feel like you're supposed to be at 5 different places at once and people want you in all those places, but you can't be in all those places.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mode I'm in. I think it gets this way heading into Masters. I'm very excited. And this Masters is just like, it's like a freight train coming our way. It's going to be here before we know it.
It's going to be here quickly. And you obviously have a lot going on. Augusta people, we have a lot going on too, renting our house out and kids going on spring break and planning all that. Like it's getting nuts here. I have so much stuff to do around my house. And unfortunately I don't have my wife at home to do it and help with. There is a lot going on. So Masters will be here quickly. I can't wait though for Masters Thursday, because then we can just take a deep breath, have some food and drinks with the family and friends. Watch the best golf tournament in the world. It's going to be great. But
this is not the best golf
tournament. I was just about to say, we do not have the best golf tournament in the world here at the Texas Children's Houston Open. Formerly the Vivint, formerly the Cadence Bank, all kind of stuff. Memorial Park Golf Course, typically played in the fall swing. So we've seen this tournament played here 3 times, won by Tony Finau in the fall of 2022. Jason Kokrak won before that, and Carlos Ortiz the year before that. So we're back after almost a year and a half, and we're at a different time of year. rumor is there's overseed going on, people tossing out seed takes, you know, a lot of seed experts out there. Mm-hmm. We do have boots on the ground. We'll have boots. We already have boots on the ground, and we'll be getting some analysis from those folks, dropping that in the Discord. The folks behind the scenes about the number are on site and evaluating the golf course as well. So they'll be, I'm sure, passing along what they see from the course. You're going to want to know all that stuff. But, you know, the course might play different, might play a little easier, might play a little longer, a little softer. Still a tough course. Like, it's long. It's got a lot of teeth. Even the par fives, tough to score on. Some long par fours. It's Texas, so you know it could get windy. Looks like it might get a little windy. Looks like other than that, the weather's going to be fine. So, you know, winning scores have barely cracked the double digits for the most part. We might see a little better winning score here, but for the most part, you know, most guys aren't going to hit 10 under. It's going to be, you know, similar to what we saw at the Valspar last week. But in terms of DFS, let's get into it. Let's talk the 9K range. 9K, yeah. And all the way up to Mr. Scotty Scheffler at a whopping $13,000 on DK. First question, should he have been 15,000?
I mean, what's the highest we've ever seen on DK?
I don't know.
I know it's not 13. I know it's been higher than that, but
his implied odds to win now are at like 25% to 27%, which is exactly where Tiger was a few times, including it in majors in the early 2000s up to 2010, 12, whatever. And you're in Texas. He's a Texas. Well, he's not from Texas, but he played college golf at Texas. He lives in Texas now. But you've got the 5K range, and we're going to do the 5K draft, Pat. Mm-hmm. There are probably, I don't know, there's like three names in the 5K that I like. Then there's probably about four more that I'm like, okay, I'm okay. I could do it, you know?
Yeah.
So there are some 5K options. There are some nice options in the lower sevens. There's some nice options in the 6K range. He's going to be popular, probably in the 35 to 45% range is my guess. What do you think? As of Monday, I mean, we won't make you to commit to anything now as of Monday afternoon, but what's your lead on Scotty?
Let me tell you what I think, DB.
Tell me what you think, Pat.
I'm going to get really strategic on you, okay? Oh. And I'm going to go big-brained on you, okay? Okay. I don't always go big-brained. Not ever go big-brained. But I'm going big-brained this week, and I'm going to tell you how I feel about Scotty. Because you can play Scotty all you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You can play him at 100% of your ownership. You can play him at 50, but you could also play him at zero. And the reason you want to play him at zero is because I don't want to look at him in my lineup. Wow. I don't want to look at him in my lineup. I just don't. I want to play somebody different. I want somebody different to be the hero for me this week. And I don't care I don't want it to be Scotty. So for the pure fact that I do not want to see him in my lineup, I'm just going at 0% Scotty.
Why? Why don't you want to see him in your lineup? What do you have against Scotty?
I have nothing against Scotty. I want somebody else to do something good and win. And I don't want Scotty. I want him to kind of go away this week. So my strategy is going to be not to play him. And I don't care if here's the thing with DFS too. Like, sometimes you get lucky like that. And these guys just have a bad week and you are underexposed to them and it turns out good. So I'm going to try that this week. I'm just going to do it.
Wow. I get the sense. Let me see if I can think out loud here. And this could be completely off. I do get the sense that this sets up to be kind of a carnage week. In terms of like 6 of 6 and 5 of 6 percentages, or 6 of 6. So let's just say you do play all of Scotty, or 50% or 75% Scotty. it certainly does not mean you are going to get it right dumpster diving as you kind of have to do at some point. At some point you do.
Yeah.
So, you know, at any rate, I think you need Scotty. Scotty has to deliver a top 3 to maybe 5 finish, depending on, in terms of like DK points scored. I don't think he has to win at 13K, but I think he, you know, top 3 to 5 finish DK points scored to kind of pay off. But then what you're having to go and figure out below him, or, you know, down at the bottom, would have to pay off as well. I do think it's possible you could make a lot of money with a 5 of 6 lineup this week if we do see the carnage, which we might see, like, similar to what we saw at the Valspar. I mean,
exactly.
Plenty of 5 of 6 lineups, I think, did well at the Valspar. I see what you're saying, except for I don't understand your logic. I mean,
there's no logic to it.
There's a 75% implied chance he doesn't win, which is kind of, you know, that's the bright side, right?
Yeah.
I mean, his top 5 implied odds are 55%. So half the time he's going to finish top 5.
Did we not see, by the way, and I don't know if this was the show I did with Byron or if you and I did this, but was there not like a huge winner in DFS, whether it was the players or the API, I want to say maybe even the Millie Maker lineup, we noticed last week at the players did not have Scotty in it.
I didn't notice that.
I could be wrong. Tony may be able to fact check this one, but I swear we were looking at a lineup that was very high up. And maybe it was that winner that did well that was in the Nut Hut that did not have Scotty in the lineup. It was one of those, I think. And so you don't necessarily have to have Scotty in the lineup to have a good week like that.
The other thing is, like, okay, I know that he came back and won after the neck gate at the players, but that's the players. Like, you kind of gut it out. He's the defending champ.
Yeah.
It's Houston. It's a couple weeks before Augusta. He's probably on baby watch. The neck starts to kind of act up a little bit. You know, do you kind of see like a little bit of a, I think I'm out. I think I'm going to bounce. Like,
I don't think Scotty's got that personality, but
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the neck was interesting. I agree. I think the way it looked, was that if, especially that first day, like he really could have withdrawn, but it did seem to get better as it went along. But I don't know. I don't think Scotty's much of like an exaggerator. Like he kind of like milks the injury thing. I don't think he does that.
Do you think he's more likely to withdraw now that he has the NWO beard?
I heard he shaved the beard.
What?
I thought I saw that in the Nut Hut somewhere or on X.
He shaved it? He looks so good.
I don't think you shave it if you win twice in a row with the beard.
He looked additionally handsome with the beard. I think.
Kind of like me?
Me. He looked way better. Like, it was dark. It made him look like just a little extra sophisticated. It made him look a little less like.
I'm
Big Scotty Scheffler. Yeah. I'm gonna beat your ass.
A lot of people don't like Scotty.
Why? How do you
people,
not like
Scotty? People I know don't like Scotty. They think he's boring.
You don't know one person that doesn't like Scotty. That's not even true.
They like him as a person, but they think he's boring when he wins and blah blah blah. Not they don't like him as a person. Yeah, everybody like, how could you not like Scotty as a person?
I thought that's what
you said. A winner on tour, they're not excited at all by Scotty, which I get. I do get.
It does feel like his wins are like less dramatic than Tiger. No, like Tiger. I don't know why. I just remember Tiger's wins being way more dramatic and way more amazing. And Scotty just—I don't know. He just—I
mean, that was an exciting ending at the Players. I mean,
it was.
But and again, it wasn't like Scotty was doing something at the end to win the golf tournament. It was him yeah, standing like, on the range, you know, and
he'll beat you with like 9 or 10 above average approach shots throughout the day. And Tiger would beat you with, and I'm just making this up in my head. This is completely false. Or, well, I don't know. Tiger would beat you with like some good approach play, but like 2 unbelievable shots that would gain, you know, a shot and a half or 2 shots or whatever it would be on the field. Like whether it's he has this amazing shot to birdie a hard par 4 or eagle a par 5 or whatever it is. Like it just felt like there was more drama and theatrics with Tiger because Scotty's getting the Tiger comparison right now, like on X in terms of how dominant he's been. And these odds are Tiger-esque as well. So that's the only reason I'm bringing it up. But I mean, he's obviously not Tiger. But
if you saw Scotty, just a video of Scotty, you had no clue how good he was at golf and how the comparisons to Tiger right now from a ball striking standpoint and winning. And you just watched a video of his swing, knowing you. Knowing you, who loves the beauty of the swing, the beautiful swing, not the, you know, not the beautiful mess of a swing. Mm-hmm. What would you think? Like, how good would you think he is at golf?
I mean, I would definitely err on the side of saying, boy, I bet this could get squirrely often.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
It doesn't ever. It looks like he's about to fall over every time he hits a shot, and it's perfect.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're not a golf instruction show, but Scotty is an interesting topic. I agree this week because of the fact that how much of a favorite he is, his price. And but I think all of this said, I do think I'm just not going to play him, and I'm just going to see if I can somehow do something that, you know, is different than what most people are going to do. Probably stay a little more balanced because I do think this 5K range that we've had lately is throwing a lot of people off into this sort of more like in a way of wanting to go more studs and duds because they have that sort of, you know, that range there that hasn't been there for a while. Whereas I feel like lineups have been more leaning towards studs and duds versus a little more balanced. So I think I'm going to try a little more balanced strategy this week. In GPPs.
Obviously. I think I lean towards the Scotty fade too. Just because, and obviously with Scotty every week, it takes just the tiniest little thing to talk yourself out of it because there's not really a glaring reason to do it. So it's like, the small possibility of the neck thing happens, the small possibility of the baby thing happens, the bigger possibility that he goes back to looking like pre-mallet Scotty and the putter just is a disaster. Although I think this is actually setting up to be a decent week for him on the greens with how this course could play, but you know, and add all that together, plus the high ownership is always there. I think I might be with you. So there we go. 18 minutes in, we figured out what to do with Scottie Scheffler. Beautiful.
Good for him. Yeah, yes.
All right, the rest of this range, let's talk chalk. Obviously, Scottie's chalk. I think Sahith is going to be chalky.
I agree, yeah.
I think Keith Mitchell and Nord are going to be chalky. I think the middle of this 9K and above range is where there's some pivot when you pivot spots. The more I was digging into it, we talked about him on the betting show, but the more I was looking into this, if I think that Noren and Mitchell and Sahith and Scotty are popular, Wyndham Clark's gonna also get some love. Like we could be looking at a pivot Will Zalatoris. I think we potentially Will Zalatoris, who burned a bunch of people at the Players, including me. I think we're definitely looking at a pivot opportunity with Tony Finau. I think Siwoo Kim is a pivot. And I'm not sure on Jason Day, but I think Siwoo, Finau, and Willie Z are going to be potential pivots. Willie Z being the most popular out of those three. I like Siwoo. I like Siwoo. And it feels like the price is not right. But sometimes that's how you get different. You overpay. You pay too much. But I talked about him a little bit at the end of the betting show. I think Siwoo is one of my favorite pivots. And then I'm probably going to go back to Willie Z. We'll see how that goes. I'm very tempted to eat the Mitchell chalk. I'm less tempted to eat any Norin chalk, like chalky. We talked about Norin's come up just a few weeks ago. He was the inaugural rape whistle buddy bet of the week. Now he's chalky Norin at 9,400. That's quite the come up. If he is the chalk play, if he is popular there, because he's going to check a bunch of boxes, his form is good. He played T4 last year. I'm not ready to be that. I'm not ready to be on a chalky Norin, but I will eat the chalk on Keith Mitchell.
Yeah, so I agree on Norin. I do like him as a bet outright just because I feel like I want to have a little something on him.
Yep.
But I don't want to play chalky Norin here. And I love Willie Z. I think if he's the pivot, give me all of that and let me start my lineups without Scottie Scheffler with Willie Z. I will do that. The same goes for Tony. I mean, coming off that missed cut, and he really isn't in great form. I feel like he's not in bad form.
Like
he's not. Yeah, you're right. I mean, he was 13th in Mexico. Yeah. Obviously, won here last year. But I think Tony could be another one. Jason Day to me feels a little bit like your beloved Pio. Like, I mean, if I need to lay my head down nicely at night with my DFS lineups, I can feel good about Jason Day. I mean, the guy's been playing very solid this year. You know, obviously he's great around the greens and he's a good putter. I think that's going to be very important this week when the scoring is not like going to be, you know, just an absolute birdie fest. You know, his history here is good. So I do think Jason Day is, and I'll be interested to see where his ownership comes in. I do not think he's going to be chalky though. But I do agree Mitchell's going to be chalky. The other one down here, and we didn't talk about him at all on the betting show. I almost picked him as a top 20 is Hoagie at the bottom at 9,000. I mean, Hoagie's very just a steady cut maker, occasionally has that upside week, you know, where he's always been just a fantastic ball striker. Hoagie is another one that I think we're going to get some low ownership. I mean, he's number one in the BTN model and strokes gained approach in this field. You know, hits his short irons well, hits his long irons well. Just, you know, again, so I think Hoagie, despite the fact that he's not necessarily that long off the tee, and he's been solid lately too. He had a top 15.
Oh, he's been tremendous.
Yeah, API, top 15, T28 at the Honda. So, Hoagie's another one that we get a little low ownership on. I think he definitely will be in the pool. I'll say that for me.
I don't love Hoagie. He might be my fade here. Only because, I mean, the iron play is tremendous. Which, I mean, you know, obviously you can play really well here and not even have to worry about short game, which he really hasn't had to worry much about. And be just fine. You don't have to worry about short game if you're hitting all the greens in regulation, which is certainly Hoagie's MO. He hasn't done it here in a couple of attempts. And he's quite bad from chipping off of tight grass. I mean, he's not good.
Yeah, his scrambling does leave a lot to be desired.
And the distance thing is obviously going to be an issue here, especially with if the overseed is there, and of course they're playing a little longer. And we know we know Hoagie likes those courses where everybody's hitting it to the same spot, and it's an iron fest from there. So I could see, man, he's going to get some love too. I mean, he might be higher owned than Mitchell or Norin by the end of this. I mean,
he'll be higher than those two.
I think he could be higher than Norin. I don't know about Mitchell. I mean, but I have rose colored glasses for Keith Mitchell. So
yeah,
I think Hoagie could. I mean, he's playing great. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Hoagie probably should be priced higher than Norin.
You're probably right. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Hoagie could you could argue Hoagie should be priced higher than Jason Day or Siwoo.
Maybe
look at his 2024, like you said.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a T12, a T28, a T8, a T17, a T6, and a T17 in 2024.
Yeah, it is pretty good. I'm trying to look at Day here. I mean, yeah. You know, Day obviously has enough, you know, a couple of top tens too in here, but
Hoagie might not be the perfect course fit, but I think the iron play is just so in your face good, and that's gonna pop for everybody. 9K. He might be more popular than Norin.
I do think that Hoagie should be probably priced higher than Norin. I think he could flip those two pretty easily. Mm. The other one I think I'm going to fade is Wyndham.
Really?
Which I hate to say because I was all over him at the Players. And you know, he was on my betting card. I played him DFS, but he was lower owned in DFS. I mean, Pete, he was kind of he was sneaky that week. This week, obviously, he's not going to be sneaky. He's going to have some ownership. But I think if I'm going to use the strategy that I want to use this week, it's going to be hard for me to put Clark in there. I don't see there. He's like, in a way, he's just like Scotty is. There's not really many holes that you can find, whether it's the recent form, anything in your models that's going to pop up. He's going to be up there in the top five. But it's the same sort of deal. Like, I think he's obviously going to be high end. I feel like I can just create a better potential winning GPP type lineup without those two in there. And just pray, you know?
What if Sahith is like 24% and Clark is like 18?
Yeah. If he's 18 and Sahith is 20, I'll play Clark. Yeah. If he's less than 20, I would still probably play him. I'm not thinking he's going to be I'm thinking he's going to be like 25, 26%. By the way, I just thought about this. Sunday is Easter Sunday. Is there strokes gained the Lord blesses you in the models?
Strokes gained the Lord.
We haven't even thought about that. About the blessings that are going to come upon some of these people on Sunday.
Scotty's
one of them.
Tony,
I didn't think about.
I mean, Tony's the Mormon thing. I don't really think the Mormons do Easter. The rest of them, I don't know. I don't know. Interesting. Strokes gained the Lord. All right, let's move on. I will say this: if there are changes like strokes gained the Lord, strokes gained Christians during Easter weekend, you will not find them on Bet the Number because Bet the Number is not going to do frivolous, dumb stats. No. We talked about this on the betting show. There's a lot of stat sites doing dumb stuff. The people that are running the show behind the scenes at Bet the Number have done this professionally on the PGA Tour for years. They know what matters and what doesn't. There's a lot of noise out there. Don't get it all jumbled up in your models, okay? Strokes gained the Lord. Strokes gained. What's another example, Pat?
Houston weather in March.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So just don't mess around with that. But check out Bet the Number, best golf data and stat site up and coming right now. Great people behind the scenes, great minds behind the scenes, extremely custom model available. Now
custom,
all the
mass, custom?
Very custom.
There's extra custom in
it's
there.
It's extremely custom model. It's extra custom. You've got the Masters data is now up and loaded. You can check that out with the Majors data pop in there. It's all good stuff. Code TJ gets you $5 off the monthly membership and $50 off the annual membership. Or if you're a member of the Discord, a paying member of the Discord, you can DM myself or Pat. We'll give you a one-time unique code that will give you the largest discount anywhere available on the earth or the moon to Bet the Number.
Or the heavens.
So check that out. Link in the description. BetTheNumberGolf.com. Okay. 8K range. We spent a lot of time on that range here. You know, so if you're talking balance, Pat, you're the balance boy. I gotta assume you're gonna eat the chalkiest name in this range, which I would anticipate to be Jake Knapp.
Yes, he will be chalky, and I will have a lot of that chalk right there at 8,000. Jake Knapp, by the way. Look at this lovely poster. DB, thanks for that poster. That was my birthday present from DB. I have a painting as well, but the poster is really cool. So obviously I'll be playing some Jake Knapp and he will be chalky. I agree. I think some other chalky names though in this range are going to be Doug Gim. People are going to continue to play him. The dude was bet like crazy last week and I don't know what his ownership was, but I, you know, just look at the form, look at the ball striking, all the things that line up well. I think Doug Gim is going to be chalky up here. And then, I mean, do you think Steven Yeager is going to have some chalk at 8,900? I probably not. I mean, the form hasn't been great.
People are starting. Maybe they're souring on Yeager a little bit. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, really only one good finish in his last five starts at Mexico.
So, Nat may be, and Jim, really the only true chalk here. And I do have some players, though, that I like here in this range to play.
All right, who do you like?
Well, I think I'm going to play a little bit of Aaron Rye.
He's going to get some action.
I think he'll get a little bit of action too, but I like where he is. You look at the
he'll get all the course history people like you.
For sure. Not necessarily that, you know, course history isn't, you know, this is a different time of year, so I don't know if you could put a ton of emphasis on it, but obviously he's played well here. But the stats look good too. Off the tee, his approach numbers, you know, the scramblings, you know, leaves a little bit to be desired. He's not that long off the tee, but I do like Aaron Rye. I think Billy Horschel, DB. Billy Horschel's kind of putting together a decent last few weeks outside of the players with the top 10 at the Honda, top a T12 last week.
Yeah.
You know, another really good ball striker. His scrambling is certainly not fantastic, and he's really annoying to watch putt. But I think Billy Horschel is one that I'll also play in this range. And the last one I do like is Kurt Kitayama. I'm kitty kitty this week, like you would say.
Yeah.
Or kitty cat.
Yeah.
Like they would say on Wedding Crashers. I like Kurt Kitayama also at 8,100.
I think Knapp is, I mean, there is a point. There is a point where super chalk Knapp might be too much. But I'm interested.
What do you think he'll get to, though?
I think he could push 17, 18%. I mean,
I would still be okay.
If you put Scotty in your lineup, you can easily hit Knapp.
You can.
And Kitty Yama. I think Kitty is going to be a little more popular than you may think. I like Kitty. I think I'm actually, you know, I'm looking at it now. I think live in the moment, I might come around on Steven Yeager right now.
Okay.
Well, like just getting people bouncing off of him a little bit, maybe feels like he's priced like the Yeager of a month ago. You know, when he started out 18th at the Sony, third at the Farmers, third at Mexico, and people were dialed. But honestly, like his numbers aren't that different. He's just not like he's close. He's just not doing everything, right? Like he missed the cut at the Players. I mean, he didn't putt well, but that's kind of what he does. Like the ball striking wasn't terrible. It's not like so far off, you know?
Yeah.
It just feels like he's probably closer than it feels like he's closer to putting it together than he is like not or needing to really, really find it. It doesn't feel like it's that far off.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking Yeager might be interesting if he's not very popular. Played well here 2 years in a row. All right. That's the AK range.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll very just small be a range. It's not a range where I love, like I'm super committed to playing a guy regardless of ownership. I think a lot of these guys are similar. They're kind of the same guys. I mean, I'm not playing Patrick Rogers. Like, give me a break. Regardless of how good he shows up in my model, which he actually shows up quite nicely, I just can't. $8,500 Patrick Rogers just is the worst. I'm not going to do it, even in this field. Not doing it.
We saw on the betting show how we're always like you know, like Cam Young for me or whatever. Like you don't want to miss a guy when he finally wins. Mm-hmm. I don't care whatsoever of missing Patrick Rogers when he finally. Same. I do not care at all.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like betting the pass line and craps. Like, if that's how you want to do it, if that's how you want to do it, sir, against everybody else and, you know, screwing the table, like not being the douche that is raking while everybody else is not, that can be you.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. 7K range before we do. I want to thank our friends at Swanee's, baby. Got my Swanee's hoodie on. Now, it's a waste management hoodie, but you can get this without the waste management on it on the golf course. It's got these, I mean, on the golf course, on the website. It's got these little pockets in here. This hoodie is fantastic, super comfy. We got new Swanee's apparel dropped, a new collection dropped just 2 days ago, I think. It looks beautiful. Check it out, swanees.co. Link in the description. Code TJ25 gets you 25% off your entire order. It's great stuff. Locally owned, U.S.-based company, shipping to U.S. and Canada, environmentally conscious products and materials, if that's something that's important to you. Swanee's, our friends at Swanee's, supporting the TJ Show all of 2024, and we appreciate them. So if you appreciate us and you like what we do, help keep the lights on, go support some Swanee's, get you some golf apparel, your wife, there's some stuff on there for ladies, your kids, there's some junior stuff that looks great. It's high quality. You need it. All right. Also, I think we're going to do this. I'm going to find a way on social media this week, Instagram and or X, to give away $100, some maybe a couple $100 Swanee's gift cards. So be on the lookout.
Ooh, I like it.
7K range. I kind of feel like the 7K range, I couldn't really figure out the chalk. Maybe it's gonna be a late blooming chalky 7K range. But as I was looking on it, there's one name that I think is going to be popular. And it is a name that I like. It's a name that I talked about on the betting show. But as I think about building a Scotty lineup, I think he'll be a common piece that people fall on when they add Scotty, and that's Taylor Moore at 7,600, who is, you know, hitting the irons quite well with the exception of API, which can be a weird tournament. The scrambling has always been very strong for Taylor Moore, ranks very highly in both long-term and short-term around the green play. Hasn't played well here. You know, I don't know why. I mean, it looks like it's, but I mean, this is a year and a half ago. Like, he's won since then, probably a better player than he was a year and a half ago. So I do think Taylor Moore is interesting. That's really the only name I could come up with. And there's a bunch of names in here that I think might get some love. Like, will people play Joel Damon after a couple good finishes here? The course history crowd, the T11 at the Players. I don't know. Will people play Berger down here because it's still Daniel Berger and it's 7,200? Are people going to play K.H. Lee after a couple good finishes his last few events? Everybody always likes to play Akshay. List is like, I don't know. Like, what do you think? Who is there anybody else you think is going to get a lot of love?
I don't see much outside of Taylor Moore. I do just feel like everybody's going to be moving down to. So I think he'll be a little bit chalky. And when I say chalky, I still think you're looking at what, 9-10%? For this range,
I can see somebody getting up to 12 or 13, maybe.
Yeah,
it's not like crazy.
But yeah, he's one. I don't really see maybe a little bit for Joel, but it's still probably going to be like 7-8%. Outside of that, I don't know if I really see any other chalk. There's certainly some guys I like besides Taylor Moore down here, though. One being Ben Griffin right above Taylor Moore. I feel like this could be a Ben Griffin week. Coming off of a top 20. He finished top 20 here last year. I know this isn't the greatest, you know, as far as like fit when it comes to, you know, being able to hit it out there a long way. But I do like the putting for him, and I like the around the green play. I also want to know what you think, because I kind of want to go back to Cam Davis after what a disaster of a week the Players was. The red numbers, when you're looking at BTN, for him, negative 17 strokes gained total, negative 11, almost 12 tee to green. I mean, everything. Somehow he was in the positive scramble. But that to me is a big outlier for a player to have that bad of a week. And he has not been terrible leading up to the Players. Both you and I liked him, I think, going into the Players. Do you think about Cam Davis here? Because he's not, people are jumping off his ship
No, I can't do it with you, man. I'm not going to do it. And I'm normally a Cam Davis guy. If you are on the Cam Davis, you know, wooden door in the ocean and you're Jack and I'm Rose, I'm letting go of your hand and letting you go down to Davy, what's his name's locker, whatever. What's his name? Davy Jones locker. Yeah, you're down there. I'm out.
Okay, well, I have another one then.
Okay.
can I pitch you on? I can't believe this guy's name is going to come out of my mouth.
Thomas Dietrich.
Oh, my God. Can we play Thomas Dietrich? Now, look, I am the biggest hater of Thomas Dietrich. But there's a few things that you could look at with him. Obviously, he does move it off the tee. He can get it out there. Yeah. Top 15 strokes gained putting in the BTN model. He's 30th off the tee. Everything else doesn't look good, but he did have a top 20 last week on a very difficult course at the Valspar, which doesn't seem like a great fit for him. Let me look into his numbers at the Valspar. Yeah. I mean, tee to green, over 4 strokes, off the tee, 2.5. Approach game was really good for him because his approach game has not been this good all year long, I don't think. Gained over 2 strokes with his irons. And the putting was decent. The round the green game was about flat. There were some things about Thomas Dietrich, I think, that could say, hey, maybe you play him this week. He's going to be low owned. Your thoughts?
No. Can I give you one? Can I give you one?
Yes.
I can't believe I'm about to say this guy's name.
No.
Who?
Mackenzie Hughes.
Yes.
No, we can't. No. The answer's no.
Yes. Yes. We talked about him on the betting show. I told you that as I was doing my work for the betting show, I was like, God, why am I drawn for like literally the first time in my life to that big crap-eating Canadian grin and the big ping hat, nightmare fuel golf ball striker Mackenzie Hughes? Because I was looking at it on BTN. I'm like, God, his short game is so good, and that's going to be valuable here, even with overseed, and even if it's softer, it's still going to be valuable. Between the betting show and the DFS show, I'm digging deep. And, you know, while his approach play always is terrible,
yes,
it actually, the last 3 weeks, has been positive. So, like, is there a little bit of a trend developing? I mean, he was neutral at Valspar. He gained 0.859 of the players and 1.352 at API. Prior to that, he lost 12.7 strokes the previous 6 rounds. So, like, do we hop on the Mackenzie Hughes, like, what if the irons are just trending to just neutral? Because he's kind of Spiethian in that he has these magic beans around the greens and on the greens,
mm-hmm.
where he could just luck box this whole thing into submission at 7,800. And he's done it well here 3 years in a row.
Yeah, he has. That's where you had me at that.
I don't have a good gauge on his popularity because I never play him. So I just assume that he's always unpopular because I don't know why anyone would ever play him. Now, I know like our friend Pat Mayo, he has a soft spot for him. I don't know if it's a Canadian thing or if he hit him when he won the RSM or whatever it was years ago. But I don't think people play him, but maybe I will not play a chalky Mackenzie Hughes. Like that is for sure not happening. And when I say chalky, I mean like if that sucker's 10%, I'm out. Bye. But if he's like 5-7, buddy, you want to lock arms and walk into the Mackenzie Hughes parking deck and make sure we pack our whistles?
Man, that parking deck looks so scary.
Yeah.
You know, we had you gave me a nay on Dietrich.
Mm-hmm.
You gave me a nay on whoever else I was talking about.
I've already forgotten too. Oh, Cam Davis.
I'll give you a yay for McKinley.
Okay, yes.
We'll go in on Hughes. Oh, and I don't mind him. Like, I don't hate Mackenzie Hughes like you do. I feel like I have a soft spot for him because didn't he hit like a first round lead bet for me or something one time? I don't know. It's been long.
I don't know. But that there's your rape whistle buddy bet of the week, Mackenzie Hughes.
Okay.
Tread lightly, boys. All right. Other plays in here that I like quickly. I'm not back on. I never got off Victor Perez because Victor Perez, I think, is a good player. He's a bomber. He's going to check the boxes with the irons, the green regulation numbers. He's a good player around the greens, a solid player around the green. Can't putt, don't care. I like Victor Perez at 7K. I know that I continue to play this guy, and he's made me look bad so far. But like somebody else we were talking about earlier, I don't know who, but I can't remember, but maybe Jaeger. Like, it just feels close. Davis Thompson just doesn't feel that far off. Like, if you look at his two missed cuts, basically he missed a cut last week because he lost 5 shots putting.
Yeah.
Ball striking was good. Ball striking the week before at the Players, not great, but not horrible. Like, and it's the Players. It's the best, one of the best fields on the PGA Tour. Tough, okay? Mexico, we saw him T24, long track. Waste Management, T15. Like, I think Davis Thompson is actually pretty close to being, like, a good play, and he's $7,300. So I like him too.
Okay. I think that's all for me in this range. We've already.
Okay.
I don't think there's anybody else for me to add. Hubbard does.
I knew you could not say Hubbard.
Sorry, I could. I had to. He does interest me a little bit too.
Yeah, so. I don't hate it. All right, 6K range. We know that the chalk. I feel better about guessing the 6K chalk. I think the 6K chalk is for sure going to be Andrew Novak.
A hunt, yes.
Which, you know, we already talked about him top 20. We talked about him outright. Like, he's 200-1 outright. He's like 4-1 top 20. That's for sure happening. I actually might play, and I think that's what I was gonna say. I think a popular start could be Scotty, Taylor Moore, Andrew Novak. That lineup could be a popular start in big GPPs.
No Jake Knapp in there, or you just?
Yeah, I think Jake Knapp is definitely going to be a popular play in there. But I was just looking at those because, like, when you put Scotty in the lineup, it immediately kicks you into that 7K average, and you probably want to get somebody around there first, and you work up to Jake Knapp later. But Novak, I still might play him if he's 7-8% Novak in the 6K. I still like it. I just think he's hitting it so well. I think Cam Champ is going to be popular. I don't know if I love a chalky Champ this week. We talked about him on the betting show, top 20 maybe. I don't love playing a chalky Cam Champ. And Dylan Wu, I think, is going to get some love. D-Wu's been playing good, hitting it well. Iron play is good. I think those three are going to be popular here. Also, probably Ryan Moore is going to get some love.
I agree on Ryan Moore.
Depends on the distance thing. Like, I could see some people turned off a little bit with the distance, especially if we hear the overseas making it play longer. You know, he might get a little bumped down for that. The iron play has been great, but it does tail off after about 175 yards, which you're going to have a fair amount of shots from 175 out here. And his putter's terrible. But in terms of pivots here, I like a couple bombers. I like Joseph Bramlett. I like Matty Schmid.
Yeah. Bramlett was one I was kind of looking at. He shows up pretty well in the BTN model also. And it's played pretty well this year. I mean, he missed a couple of players, but other than that,
that's a big boy field for him.
Yeah, it is. I agree. I like that. I like Matty Schmid too. I mean, he was another one that I had favorited in here. Kind of across the board, you know, not really that many holes, maybe around the green, but other than that, he definitely checked some boxes. I like Carl Yuan also, finished strong last week with a T5, has played here before, T35 last year. You know, another guy, very good around the greens, 21st off the tee. You know, he gets it out there. So he's another one, Carl Yuan, that I like as well. I think I just said his name like two different ways.
I think you said it the same both times. So,
go ahead.
I'm going to either chalk on Novak and Dewoo, and then I'm going Schmid, Bramlett as pivots. Might add another one, potentially.
I'll definitely eat the chalk on Novak. Sam Ryder. Sam Ryder, I mean, he's been playing so well lately, but he just... Every time I do put him in lineups, it fails for me. So I may just not do it this week.
Producer Tony, make a note. We should do a segment one day of we each make a 6-man lineup of our favorite, our the other person's favorite guys to play no matter what. Like,
yeah, Sam Ryder would be
guys there. We cannot stop playing.
I feel like that would be a good bit. There's a lot of guys in the tour junkie kind of folklore that I've mentioned a few times over the past week of whether trying to get them on the show or do some content with them or whatever. I feel like that could work.
Yeah. I mean, but there's also guys who we kind of hate to love. We don't like have this affinity for them like we do Siwoo or something, but we can't ignore them. We have a hard time looking over their name in DFS. Okay.
I like it.
Let's make a note of that. All right. 5K range. Ready to do the 5K draft?
Yes. By the way, I think I told you this off camera.
Mm-hmm.
Our 5K draft that Byron and I did last week in your mm-hmm. absence
mm-hmm.
was horrific. Let me go through this with you real quick.
Okay.
I'll give you one judgment call on this one. Actually, no, we can't give it. Tony is going to have to go back and fact check one of these. Byron chose Campos, miscut. I chose Lauer, withdrawal. Byron chose Troy Merritt, miscut. Byron chose Wilson Furr, miscut. I chose Echeverria. Miscut.
Can we clip? I chose Echeverria, which sounds like either A, an STD, or B, yes. A cure for an STD, or some sort of
yes
medical pharmaceutical company. I chose Echeverria. Okay.
And then ahead. The last one, I have written down Cootie.
Now, you don't know what's going on.
One Cootie made the cut. The other Cootie did not.
You had to have picked Parker. Pearson's been a dickhead.
So I'm pretty sure I chose Parker, who did make the cut.
Yeah, I think we have to give you Parker. There's no way.
Please give me Parker.
There's no way you would have chosen Pearson.
I don't think I would have. So one.
The Cootie, Mrs. Cootie would have chosen Pearson because she feels bad for how.
Yeah, he's
been overlooked and overshadowed by his other brother this year. No one else would have.
No. So,
well, it's hard for us to do worse than that.
Yes.
I mean, you even had a withdrawal in there, which, I mean, you're not getting anything out of that after the withdrawal.
Yeah. So okay. We can improve on that. The bar is low.
All right. Well, I don't want you want to start. Or you want me to start?
I'll let you start because I think I'm going to steal one of your guys if you don't take him. So you get one shot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going Hayden Springer.
Okay, that was the guy. So,
is that him? 5,900 yeah. Hayden Springer. Talked about him a little bit on the betting show. Bombs it. Doing well. Making some cuts. 33rd at Torrey. 38th at Mexico. I think he's going to like a place he can just rip driver. And he has these spike iron weeks. And then he has really down spike iron weeks. And he has really spike around the green weeks. And he has really down spike iron. So, like, I don't know. It seems like a fun roulette wheel for Hayden Springer. I'll take him.
Okay. I'll go back to the guy that we just talked about. I'll go to Parker Coody.
Yep. I like it.
Down there at 5,700.
I mean, it's a little tough to not try continuing to ride, I guess, some decent form for a guy at 5,700, Rico Hoey. Similar to Springer, like just hits the ball far. Irons have been solid. Around the green play is terrible. Putting is awful, but actually gained strokes putting at the Valspar last week. Not going to be a birdie fest. Rico Hoey.
Okay. I like that. Another guy that's he's up there in our BTN model this week. The form is definitely hit or miss. He is second in this field, by the way, in ball speed. Mm. Kevin Doherty.
Mm, I was wondering if that's where you were going with that. Interesting. Yeah. Kevin Doherty. I like him. He's a good dude. God, I don't know where to go here. I think I'll go. I'm just going to keep going with the ball speed and around the green combo. And just cross my fingers on the irons. I'm going to go old man David Skins at 5,500.
Dang. Now I got to pivot.
Oh, man. Don't you hate it when somebody steals David Skins?
I hate when somebody takes Skins from me. I mean, in real life, too. I don't want Skins taken from me. All right. How about then? God, this is so hard. I'll just go a guy coming off a top 15, Chez Reavie.
Oof.
Chez-tical.
Big course for Chez.
It is.
He's going to have a lot of head covers in the bag this week. Bring the 7-wood and the Heavenwood and the Orlemar Tri-Metal out, maybe.
The Heavenwood. See? Strokes gain the Lord.
Yeah, there
Chez
you go.
Reavie.
It all comes back around.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. 5K draft is David Skins, Rico Hoey, Chez-tical, Reavie, Parker Coody, Kevin Doherty, and Hayden Springer. Yuck. But I like a couple of them. All right. That's it for us. Great shows this week. Check out the betting show if you haven't already. And yeah, look out for a couple emails. Don't forget to get in the Masters contest and winner announced in the Discord. Check out our friends at BTN. And Swannies, be on the lookout on social media for some Swannies giveaways, some gift card giveaways. Do that. Let's have a great week. May your screens be green. See ya.